Welcome to the latest episode of the Gospel Podcasts. These recordings are published weekly by the Christians that assemble at the Hospital Hill Gospel Hall in Dunfermline, Scotland. Be assured you are in our prayers, and we know that God will bless you for listening. Further information is provided at the end of this short podcast. I now pass you over to the latest message recently recorded at the Gospel Hall. Thank you.
This afternoon we're going to read in the Acts of the Apostles, please, and chapter 26. Now, it's a lengthy chapter. We're just going to read an extract from it. This is an occasion where the Apostle Paul is before King Agrippa and he is giving his testimony. He's telling King Agrippa how he came to be a believer in the Lord Jesus. And we're going to break in to that story in verse 12. So this is Paul recounting the events that led up to his conversion to Christianity. So verse 12 says, and Paul is speaking, "Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of the things which thou hast seen, and of those things which in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and Jerusalem, and through all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles." Now we know that God will bless his reading from his word. Now, this event that Paul is recounting in Acts chapter 26 took place almost 30 years before this. And yet you can see just how vividly it has remained in the mind of the Apostle Paul. And the reason it was such a vivid recollection for Paul was because it had such profound effect upon his life. His whole life was transformed. His whole course was changed. And in this passage that we've read, we see two things. We see his actual conversion to the Lord Jesus, and we also see the service which the Lord gave him to make known, and the gospel that he made it, he was required to preach. And that gospel is really summarized in verse 23, that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first to rise again from the dead. And that was the core of the message that Paul preached, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again, And Paul was able to show to those of his day that that's what the Old Testament scriptures taught, as well as what we find historically in the New Testament. It all focuses on the death and resurrection of Christ. And that is the message that we have for you this afternoon. No different message. It has to do with our Lord Jesus Christ, his suffering at Calvary for our sins. Christ has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And not only his death, vital though that is, that he triumphantly rose from the dead on the third day. And of course, we trust that men and women might remember that fact. At this time of the year, we are absolutely convinced in the historical fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Without the resurrection, there is no salvation. Says the Apostle Paul when he writes to the Romans, he was delivered for our offences. He was raised again for our justification. Now, when Paul came, as we read in these verses, you'll notice that he shows to us that this experience that he had was an event that took place in history. And there's two indicators that tell us why this is an event. Paul speaks about a place and he speaks about a time. Paul was very clear about this. It was as he went to Damascus. So he's approaching what we know to be the capital city of Syria. And it was at midday. And as it were, the sun is at its zenith. And what we're now going to have described for us is an intervention, a divine intervention in the life of this man. And we don't want to go into all the details of it, but a light shone from heaven that was brighter than the brightness of the sun. Now, immediately we can see that Paul accepted, as we do, that heaven is a real place. Heaven is a real place. It's not some kind of fantasy. The Bible is very clear that there is a heaven where God is, where the Lord Jesus is, and where we trust that you want to be. And that is the great opportunity in the message of the gospel, that there is a way that is opened up to us, that one day we will be in heaven. But now we discover there is a place of brightness, and the very glory of Christ shone round the Apostle Paul, a brightness that exceeded the brightness even of the midday sun. And you might say, well, what did Paul do when he saw this light and those that were with him saw the light? Well, we learn, first of all, when we were all fallen to the earth. Now, that was a literal thing for Paul. He fell to the earth in the presence of this light. But, you know, that was a key step in the salvation of this man. Because Paul was a proud man. Paul was a haughty man. Paul was really marked by a kind of arrogance as he went about seeking to persecute Christians. And God brings him low. God humbles him. God brings him to the very dust of the ground. And there is a lesson for us in that. And the lesson is, if we are going to come to know God's salvation, we cannot stand on our dignity. We cannot think that God owes us this, that we somehow merit his favour. And we kind of stand and we push back our shoulders and we kind of think to ourselves, well, God has got to have me. God has got to save me. No, we've got to come and prostrate ourselves before him. We are nothing. We're sinners before our great Creator. And the very first thing that Paul experiences here on the Damascus Road is this. He's in the dust of the ground and God brings him low. And that's a key thing we need to keep in mind. God will listen to the contrite heart. But pride is something that God hates. And then you'll notice that although they were all fallen to the earth, So Paul was there with his companions, those who were travelling with him to Damascus. But you'll notice that I heard a voice speaking to me. So this becomes very, very personal to the Apostle Paul, or Saul as he was then. I heard a voice speaking to me. Now the others might have heard a voice, but this voice was for Saul. The Lord Jesus was speaking directly to him, as if the others weren't there at all. And that's where we've got to get to. That we hear the voice of God speaking to us, speaking to me, speaking to you as an individual. And it's almost as if there's no one else in the room. This is just a message for me or for you. And the beauty is this, that you might think of the millions of people in the world. You might think, well, I'm nothing amongst the millions of this world. I'm just a statistic. But isn't this wonderful to see that the Lord Jesus spoke to one man, one individual. I heard a voice speaking to me. I wonder if you've had that experience, to understand that what you and I need is a personal interaction with the Son of God himself. And what's even more remarkable is that Saul of Tarsus was known by name by the Lord Jesus. Now, Saul had never met the Lord Jesus before. Saul didn't meet him when the Lord Jesus was on earth. But isn't this amazing? Saul was known by name. And known by his first name. We might say known by his Christian name. Yeah, that requires a certain familiarity, doesn't it? If somebody addresses you by your first name, you know they've gone to some trouble to find out what your name is. Or they know you in some way. And Saul hears this, Saul, Saul. And Saul knew that whoever was speaking to him was speaking directly to him. Oh, you see, this is really personal now. Oh, yes, the gospel is for the whole world. It's for every single individual in Dunfermline, in Scotland, in Europe, in the whole world. But now we focus in on this. It's a message for me. And the Lord Jesus addresses one man, on this occasion, Saul of Tarsus. And you'll notice that the Lord Jesus asks him a question. Now, I don't think many of us would want to be asked this question by the Lord Jesus. Now, here was a man, and that's what he was doing. He was persecuting Christians. And the Lord Jesus says, why? Why? Now, the question that you might be asked is might not be this particular one, but it's a solemn thing to realize that God asks the question, why? Why? And what have you done? You see, what this question is bringing before us, it's a challenging question, and it's a question that implies that we are accountable to God. Saul was accountable to God. And he's challenged, why? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? And we need to understand that we are accountable. We might choose to live our life as we have done, in a way that seems right to us, in a way that fulfills our will, our desires, our interests. But God asked the question, why? And what? These are solemn questions. These are questions that remind us that we are accountable to God, our Creator. You know, the prodigal came to that understanding. And remember that before he went back to his father, he confessed this, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. He realized that he was accountable to heaven. He was accountable to God. Now, at this moment, Paul, or Saul as he is now here, he did not know who was addressing him apart from the fact that he realized it had to be the Lord himself. It had to be a divine person. It was God who was speaking to him. And he never needed to ask this question again, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the voice comes back, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." Now, what did Saul learn from that? What can we learn from that statement? Well, the first obvious thing is simply this, that Jesus is in heaven. That's where he is. He's not on earth now. He's in heaven. He once came to earth in wondrous grace. And as we've read, he came to suffer, to die, and to rise again from the dead. But he's not here today. He's in heaven. There's a man in heaven. And this man in heaven is speaking to Saul of Tarsus outside Damascus, the capital of Syria, in the Middle East, at midday. The time is given. And Jesus is in heaven. The Saviour is in heaven. The second thing is very simply this. Jesus is alive. He's alive. That's what we remember at this time of year in particular. We have to remember all the time. Paul speaks later on of the fact that Christ should suffer and should be the first to rise from the dead. And now a risen Christ in heaven is speaking to a man on earth. Where is the Lord Jesus as we speak? As we hold this gospel meeting in this little meeting room, where is he? He's in heaven and he's alive. And he is the Lord. He has absolute authority. Absolute power is granted to him. And so when we think about him, Jesus the Saviour, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. We're to realise, we're to learn from this incident, he's now in heaven. He's alive in heaven. He's the Lord in heaven. And so earlier in this book, a man would ask the question, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. What a tremendous revelation this is. And not only did Paul personally now come into the good of salvation and put his faith in Christ, but the Lord Jesus explains to the Apostle Paul, as he would become, what he would then do, the message he would preach. And we don't have time to go into the details of it, but let me just come to this. We find it in verse 18. Why is Paul preaching this message? That they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith, which is in me. I just want to take those two expressions for the last couple of minutes of the meeting. Why are we preaching to you the Lord Jesus? Why are we telling you about a man who is now living in heaven, who is the Lord? That you might receive the forgiveness of sins, and that you might receive it by faith which is in Christ. That's the message that Paul was given to teach, to preach. That they may receive, that embraces us, that we might receive the forgiveness of sins. I was reading this morning in John chapter 8. And the Lord Jesus says to certain men that were questioning him, if ye believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins. And where I am, there ye cannot come. Solemn, solemn words. The Lord Jesus teaches these men that if they continue in their current condition, if they continue in unbelief, they'll die in their sins. And there will be an eternal separation from him. Not heaven. Not this place of light and bliss that we all want to be in. But eternal separation from God, ultimately involving eternal judgment. As says the apostle, the message the Lord Jesus gave me was this, that they might receive the forgiveness of sins by faith that is in me. It all comes to this. Who are we going to trust? That is it. Who are we putting our confidence in? Well, you say, what are the options? Well, I could put my confidence in myself. I trust we realize that that is very ill-placed. And that is not going to save my soul. Or I could put my trust in some religion. And that's not going to save my soul. The clear teaching of the Bible is this. You need to put your trust, you need to put your faith in the Lord Jesus. A man who died for us on the cross, who rose again triumphant from the dead, who now lives in heaven and offers to us forgiveness, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. You know, you might ask the question this afternoon, what does God want for me? This afternoon, just as we are. What does God want for me? My dear soul, just this, amongst many things, but this afternoon, that you might receive forgiveness of sins. It's available. The Lord Jesus has procured it. That your sins, the judgment that was required has been enacted at Calvary. Provision has been made. But we need to trust in the Saviour. We need to recognise that we're sinners. We need to repent. Our verses spoke about that. We're to repent. We need to turn to God and turn away from what we have, how we have been living. And the reason is this, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. I wonder, have you received the forgiveness of sins? You say, can you be sure about it? Yes, you can. You can be absolutely sure of it. John wrote to Christians and he says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven you for his name's sake. We each of us can have our sins forgiven. Paul writes to the Ephesian believers and he says this, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. But how do I get it? By faith, which is in me, says the Lord Jesus. I want men and women and young people to put their trust in me. No one else, in me. And is he not worthy of that trust? He died for us on the cross. He satisfied God. He's triumphed over death. Says the Hebrew writer, he is able to save to the uttermost. He is able to save completely all that come unto God through him. This was the message that Paul was given. This was the message he believed and resulted in his conversion to the Lord Jesus. Paul thought of himself as the chief of sinners. He thought of himself as the very worst. And yet God in his grace saved him. And this afternoon he is able to save you. But you must come in the same spirit, recognizing that we've sinned against God and we're accountable to God. But forgiveness is available because the Lord Jesus died and rose again and now lives in heaven. And the offer goes out to us, that we might receive the forgiveness of sins by faith that is in him. Shall we pray?
Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to this, the latest episode in the Gospel Podcast series. We trust that God will bless you for listening. And if you've not already done so, that you would take this opportunity to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the eternal salvation of your precious soul. If you would like further information, or indeed a free personal copy of God's Word, the Bible, you're welcome to contact us. Full contact details can be found on our website, www.hospitalhillgospelhall.org. May God bless you, and goodbye for now.